Here we are at the Oklahoma City Oil and Gas Expo, largest one in Oklahoma, I was told today. So here we are, Mr. Mark Stansberry joining us, the cover of Oil Man Magazine. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
Well, not only are you the cover of Oil Man Magazine, but you're also on a movie set, and we're going to talk about that in just a second. But first, for those kids out there that are looking to get some business thrown your way, what is it you do and how can people help you out?
Yes, corporate development strategist and energy advisor, and looking at corporations, how I can help C-suites and corporate leaders get through some of this challenges that are facing us.
Number one challenge right now is the transition that corporations should be aware about, companies should be aware about.
I think ESG, environmental social governance, is really at the top because it really covers so many different areas. Today I was at National Association of Royalty Owners Convention here, held at the Omni here in Oklahoma City. I spoke on the infrastructure, natural gas, and the digital transformation. Really all those tie in together, but ESG is definitely part of each one of those.
We're speaking with the ESG University mostly about getting a hold of the narrative. That's our message every time we leave, that folks, whether you like it or not, the game's already started. The economies have already been impacted. The government is putting aside money already for it. Get a hold of the narrative before you react. Be proactive rather than reactive. That's our message with ESG.
No question. I agree with you. And it's what I mentioned to the royalty owners, that it's a proactive stance. It's not a matter of saying, oh, this is a poor thing, we can't do it. You have to live with it. It's coming. It's not going to go away. We either fight it in a good way. By fighting it means stand up to it by having the right results. And that's how I look at it. It's not even a battle. It's just being very forthright will help a long way.
One of the ways to do it is to tell your story. Of course, the crude life, we like to tell people's story, whether it's a company or an individual. You're on the scenes of a movie set here this week. You're doing some things, and telling a story through movies is a great way. In fact, that's one of our conspiracy theories about how social engineering works. If you look back at the old wildcatting days, the movies were very favorable to oil and gas. And then all of a sudden, through the 70s and 80s, it turned into Greed, a little bit of Dallas and J.R. Ewing. And then all of a sudden now, it's a whole climate change thing with oil and gas. Harry the Dirty Dog, if you will, the old book. So there we go, folks, a little bit of a social engineering lesson for you here on The Crude Life. But telling stories is a big part of it. What is the story about, or can you even talk about that at the movie set you're on?
Yes, I can. We started yesterday. Gray Fredrickson, who produced the Godfather movies, Godfather 2 won Academy Award for that. And then also Greg Millard, who won an Emmy for a documentary as well, have teamed up. We've teamed up. I'm a producer. Gray's a producer. Gray and I go back 20 years ago. We started a company called Graymark Productions, and we've had films along the way. We had a film called The Green Energy Transition, which was filmed in 2011-12, and we had Ted Turner and Boone Pickens and Armin McClendon that were part of the investors that helped get that movie out, documentary out. And we talked about the transformation from, of course, wood to oil to coal, oil to natural gas and hydrogen economy, bottom line. And so this film is about 44 roughnecks who, during World War II in 1943, were challenged to go to Britain and help the war effort by helping drill wells. The British were having troubles completing wells in an efficient and effective way. So they reached out. Actually, it was through Winston Churchill and through his entourage that they came to Oklahoma, asked the Noble to help on this effort. It wound up that they drilled 150 barrels of oil, and they moved that up in a year and a half to 3,000 barrels of oil per day. And it was enough oil that helped the effort in D-Day. And these were 44 Oklahomans in our region that went to Britain. And it was a secret mission because we didn't know about it. Even America didn't know much about it until the 70s when a couple wrote a book about it. And then there were some other efforts. There's a statue in Ardmore, Oklahoma called the Oil Patch Warrior, which is about these 44 roughnecks. And there's also a replica of that over in Sherwood Forest facing this direction. Ardmore's facing the other direction, talking about the Oil Patch Warrior and how these men went through this effort. They wound up living in a monastery because it was where it was very, they were in danger. who was the manager of drilling wells, they were very much in danger. It was a really tough deal. But anyway, Gray and I started the production yesterday as producers up in Jones, Oklahoma. It's a beautiful setting. It looks like it's in England, the way we found the location. It looks beautiful. And then today we're at Masonic Temple up in Guthrie. We're traveling. We've got four other locations. We had 58 in our crew yesterday. It's really a really great, going to be a great film. And so I look forward to
it. Would this be a documentary, or would this be like a feature film that, you know, you might see a Matt Damon or a Tom Cruise in?
Well, you will not see probably that individual, those two individuals, but you will not see those two individuals. May not. You won't.
As the producer, they will not.
My budget is not included in that, but we will. We'll have some really good acting.
Okay.
And we have a narrator who we're not ready to announce that yet, but he's been in 225 films, which adds a lot to this, and I think he's a household voice. I think you'll most people know who he is, and so I'm excited about that. So I put him up there as an older brand, but one that's got a great voice.
Now, you mentioned this was a sequel, was that right, to The Great Transition?
It's not a sequel. The Grand Energy Transition was a film on its own. It was basically about the challenge of going from natural gas to hydrogen, of course, along the way, where we are today, and looking at the fuels of the future and the energy of the future. This is a different docu-film is what it is. It's because we have cast and crew, which is not similar to just a regular documentary. We have a full cast and crew spinning location after location. It's going to be well done.
I was trying to remember what the term was, because mockumentary comes to mind, but that's not what you're doing. And so I'm going, what is it where it's like half acting, half documentary?
I just made that up, docu-film. So.
Oh, for real? Because, no, there's a new genre where it's like...
It came to my mind. I don't know where it
is. Yeah, so anyway, I'm trying to...
That's funny.
I'm lost with my terminology in the last few years since COVID. They've changed a lot.
They call it docu-film. But yeah, and so I'm calling it docu-film, but it's because it's not a documentary by itself. It's a docu-film.
Right, and so it's a hybrid. That's the new way to go. All right, so but you mentioned T. Boone Pickens, you mentioned Ted Turner and Aubrey McLennan were investors, or they were part of it.
That was in 2012. That was the film called The Grand Energy Transition,
and
they were involved then. And this is this one is funded through different sources. We have different companies involved. It's the main principal player of this is Oklahoma History Center, Noble Foundation, and others, OERB and others.
Do you have a release date or month or year?
We're looking at wrapping up by February. So by springtime, we hope to hit the road. That's the goal. We've had some setbacks, and part of that was COVID. We have some archives, goes back to 1943. We were not able to get them from a major oil company that had them in England. And so we had to wait several months for that. The script had to be, we were waiting for script to be completed because we wanted to make sure we had those from the archives, the footage from the archives. We were able to get that. So we were able to complete our script, get the actors, get the crew put together. So what we hoped would have been filmed July or August is now October. But it's been worth it. It's worth the wait because we're going to do some of the old footage. We're going to try to use some colorization if we can, but we're working that. So after I leave here, I'm going straight over to the next site, location.
That's the one thing about COVID that people forget is that it wasn't even so much the individuals' businesses that had to be put on hold. It was just portions of the supply chain that you couldn't get to the next step of, and there was just because you never knew what was happening in their business. And so
that's right. No, yeah, that was a big challenge, and that goes into oil field and other things. Because look at the workforce that you talk about on your show. The workforce, I was talking to someone at NARO today, where she has her trucking company, and she's having 50-year-olds and above that she can't place because of certain restrictions, and I don't know all the rules on that, but she's challenged to get the workforce because she has people 50 years old and older that can work as truck drivers, but they're not able to because of certain restrictions. I don't know all those rules, but that's a challenge.
One thing I do like to do with Mr. Mark Stansberry is get a little existential as I close here at the Oklahoma Oil and Gas Expo. Existential energy, that's the 5,000-foot view of the 5,000-foot view. I like to do that from time to time here on The Crude Life. But listen, we all complain, we all vent. Lately, I've been listening to the content and the actual substance behind people's complaints. And as I was listening to, you know, some of the challenges of COVID and some of the other things, the limitations are coming from a very interesting place. And keep in mind, people, that the world has changed, but there are a lot more restrictions in our lives than there were back when I was a kid or when you were a kid. Better or worse, it's affected the business and the marketplace out there. And I do think the time is to have some conversations about it and not be afraid.
I agree with you. You know, it's, I go back and forth because I listen to the news and go, mask, no mask, different things like that. And you go, but sometimes it's helpful, you know, to look at it from a distance instead of just making a judgment call. And really, if we all work together on this, it's much better. If somebody really wants to wear the mask and someone doesn't, let's listen to them. Let's don't fight it. Let's see how we can work together. I know that whether it's a school or universities or in the oil business, we have the same thing. And so we're learning. And if we learn, we're much better off talking it instead of fighting each other. And I see that's the results. I mean, you look around this oil expo. I'm sure there's people who have different views about all these different things, but I'm telling you, it's a family. And if we look at our country and our nation as a whole as a family and how we're going to protect our family, I think that's the key. It's not a matter of, you know, criticizing. Let's help each other get through this.
It's a great place to end. Mr. Mark Stansberry, thank you much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate you so much.